from KQED.
From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Next on this morning's forum program, at Facebook, men can take up to 17 weeks of paid time to take care of their newborn child. But nationwide, nearly a third of men say taking leave, paid or not, is not an option. Many men report they're reluctant to take time off, even if offered, for fear it will hurt their careers. And researchers found that dads who reduced their hours or went to flexible schedules for family reasons got lower raises and received poorer scores on evaluations. We discuss the decision to take paternity leave next, after this. From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Good morning and welcome to another hour of this morning's forum program. 70 countries offer paid paternity leave. The United States is not one of them. And in this forum hour, we want to discuss what it means for fathers to take paid or unpaid leave and how it affects families, careers, and the bonds between fathers and their sons and daughters. And we have a couple of fathers here in studio with us. We're also going to talk to an expert and bring a lawyer on after the half hour. But first, we asked our listeners to share their stories about paternity leave on our comment line, and I'd like to hear what some of them had to say.
Hi, my name is Todd, and I live in San Francisco, and I took my full 6 weeks of paternity leave. I'm a 44-year-old first-time father, and I can't imagine taking a day less than the full 6 weeks that's allowed by law. I would have taken more if I could have. When the baby was 4 months old, it was just me and her all that time, and it was just amazing. Besides learning how to care for your child, you just need that time to stare into each other's eyes and figure out, you know, what it's all about. And there's no substitute. It was a beautiful thing, and I'd recommend it to everybody.
My name is Mark Makowski, and I took the full paternity leave for 8 weeks. I took 1 month up front, and that was really nice. But then I took 1 day a week, and that wasn't actually as nice. I thought it would be great, but it turns out that it still felt like I was working a full-time job, even though I was actually only working 80%. So my advice to everybody would be take the full paternity leave and maybe break it up into two long periods where you can bond with your kids.
Hi, my name is Brent. I took paternity leave when my daughter was born about a year ago. What I was surprised about was how few other men that I knew took paternity leave as well, or at least took it to the degree that I took it. I was under the assumption before I had my child that there were more men that took at least a month of time off, but it seemed to me that there weren't that, but that's kind of my anecdotal experience.
Hello, my name is Brett Leonard, and I did not take paternity leave. I took just a 2 weeks vacation, and I had the option to take a lot more time off, but I did not take that option. And I regret it every single day. I wish I could go back in time. Unfortunately, I can't, but that's my commentary.
Well, as I said, we're going to talk about paternity leave and get some different points of view. And as I alluded to, we have a couple of fathers here in studio who speak from that experience. Tom Stocky is vice president for search with Facebook and posted on Facebook about his 4 month paternity leave last year, and the post went viral. Tom Stocky, good to have you with us. Welcome.
Yeah, great to be here. Thank you.
Also want to welcome Lauren Crippen, who's here in studio and is development and marketing associate with First Graduate. They're a nonprofit, and they help students finish high school and be the first in their families to finish college. He recently returned to work after taking 3 weeks of paternity leave after his son was born, and he's planning to take more time later. Welcome.
Thank you. Great to be here.
Good to have you here. We also want to say good morning, although it's probably afternoon in Boston, now to Brad Harrington. He's executive director of Boston College Center for Work and Family and a research professor at the Carroll School of Management, and he researches work-life integration and the changing roles of fathers. Brad Harrington, welcome.
Thanks, Michael. It's nice to be here.
Good to have you here. I want to begin. We heard those stories from our callers, and we thank those of you who called in and gave us those narratives. Go a little more detail with our two in-guest studios and then get the broader picture from Brad Harrington. And as I said, Tom Stocky wrote about this on Facebook, and I got to tell you, I, as a professor, had a couple sabbaticals with my daughters were born, and a lot of what you wrote resonated for me because what you learn is it's not easy. And I don't want to discourage anybody here, but like me, you had a little bit of disillusion initially. You had to be abused of disillusions, thinking, naps, and I'll take breaks during, you know, get work done maybe. Doesn't happen that way.
Yeah, it turned out to be much harder than the job I do at Facebook. But it was a great experience, too.
Well, when your child was strapped in, you got to take a little bit of a break, right, on walks and car rides. But the fact is, a lot of that work is custodial work. I mean, it's changing diapers and giving bottles and all that.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. I mean, it was basically a very fixed schedule every day. And that was what was so grueling, too, because it was like I always had to be alert. You know, there was always some danger that I felt like was lurking with her. And so I had to constantly be staring at her.
To be the protective father.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And you don't have the stimulation and challenges of the workplace, obviously. But what I think, and Lauren may have experienced this too, we'll talk to him in a minute. There comes a certain time after a couple of months, and you took four, where suddenly your kid is much more expressive, communicative, responsive, and then it takes on a whole different coloration.
Yeah. I took my leave at the end, too. So my wife and I wanted to make sure that one of us was with her for as long as possible. So she did the first 4 months, and I did 4 months later on. And so I got to experience, more of the kind of – we actually got to go to the park and play. And so it was actually really great. And watching her grow during that time, because so many changes happen, you know, every week, every month, is pretty amazing.
You also write about the fact that and I experienced this too, and a much more liberated world now than when my kids were growing up, but the fact that you're in a park and everything and mostly moms, and there you are. It's a bit of a strange feeling.
What was really interesting is that, you know, people always talk about all these nudges that nudge kind of women back into the homes from the workplace. And I felt the same kind of nudges in reverse, that it was – I kind of kept being told that I should be at work, you know, maybe not at home with my daughter.
Yeah, there's this odd and awkward feeling that you describe, and I remember it well. People – you feel, even if it's not happening, that they're looking at you like, how come you're out here with a kid on your back, or why aren't you at work, or why aren't you in a workplace where guys are supposed to be? And it just shows how pretty much the world is still bifurcated in that way. And you talk about also in your piece the double standard where fathers are concerned.
Yeah. I mean, in some ways it feels better because the double standard is kind of in the favor of the father, because you do the smallest task and everyone's like, oh, that's amazing. But in reality, these are just things that every parent should probably do.
And again, that sense again of moms being almost, I'll use a fancy word here, hegemonic in this world of childcare or dominant. I was, and again, I got a lot of praise for this, probably overdue and inflated, as you're suggesting. But I remember once when I was the cooperative parent in a preschool, and I remember the head of the preschool saying, "Michael, you and the other mothers, come here. We're baking cookies." You know, that all that kind of rich anecdotes that you have. But you were also, as a result of the kind of bonding you did with your daughter, going back to work with a lot of ambivalence.
Yeah. Yeah, I wasn't really sure what would happen, honestly, because I'd never been away from work for 4 months at a time. And so I wasn't really sure what to expect going back.
And again, Tom Stocky's here with us in studio. He's Vice President for Search with Facebook, and Brad Harrington is Lauren Crippen is Development and Marketing Associate with First Graduate. And you talk a lot about the support you gave to your wife. I mean, that was sort of central to your experience, wasn't it?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think a big part of paternity leave for me was kind of learning how to be a father, and part of being a father is being a good husband. So I think, you know, when my wife came back from the hospital, you know, my paternity leave overlapped with her leave for the first 3 weeks. And a lot of that was really kind of, you know, taking care of her after she had gone through this pretty serious kind of medical, experience, and really just trying to help her get back on the feet. She wasn't super mobile. So a lot of it was, you know, you're saying custodial work, pretty non-glorious, but doing a lot of dishes, you know, taking care of her, going to the pharmacy, going to the supermarket. And it was strange that, you know, those felt like huge tasks. I mean, there was such a whirlwind. We were feeding every 2 hours, and days and nights kind of blended into one long day. And so, you know, those felt like huge accomplishments and really big things that I was able to bring to the table and kind of help my wife get back on her feet and, you know, had some great time bonding with my son. Really, I thought it was an amazing experience.
Bonded with your wife, too, from the sounds of it.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And as one of your callers alluded to, I'm doing a similar sort of thing where there's a chunk of time in the beginning and then a chunk of time afterwards. So I'm looking forward at the end of the month to going back and, spending a little bit more time with my son when he is, at this point, really developing quickly day to day. I mean, seeing huge shifts in his attitude and kind of his eye movement and kind of, maybe I'm projecting a little bit, but I feel like he's leaps and bounds every day. So I'm really excited to spend a little bit more time with him in the coming weeks.
Well, here's the difference, though. I mean, at a place like Facebook or Google, there's a lot of time. You even in your nonprofit you work for have said that it's somewhat of your culture, but you were pretty apprehensive about asking for time, weren't
you? Yeah, I mean, it felt, a big part of my decision, kind of my going into this, also had to do with the fact that my wife, she's a primary breadwinner. She has a great job. She works for a consulting firm, but because she had only been at a job, I want to say like 10 months, was not eligible for maternity leave. So for us trying to figure out how she was going to take time off, which included, disability, unpaid time, vacation, that for us was a big struggle. So me going into it also kind of felt like a luxury for me to take time off because, we were going from two incomes to basically none.
But you also, like Tom, noticed a big difference in your son at about that 2 month mark.
Yeah. I mean, my son.
And you also got much better at the job of taking care of your son.
Yeah,
right?
And my son was also born premature, so in the first few weeks, it was a lot of taking him back to the hospital, really monitoring and making sure he was putting on weight and trying to kind of get him caught up. So yeah, but absolutely leaps and bounds now, and definitely highly recommend it to any father out there. It was a huge thing for me to be able to be there. But, I was nervous about asking for time off. I kind of felt like it was an imposition. We're a small nonprofit. So for us, I have a department of two people. And so if I'm missing, I don't want to kind of inflate my importance to the organization. But, when half of your department's gone, it's a big deal. And it's hard for them to kind of, recover when someone steps out. So it's, it's a little bit different of a calculus, I think, for smaller nonprofits.
Hard to go back to work, huh?
Absolutely.
And leave your son? You feel almost like you're abandoning in some strange way or something?
Yeah,
like
I mean, he's in good company with his mother, but I feel like, I'm actually really excited to be able to go back, and I think my wife, got to spend some great time with him. By the time I left, we were in a much better routine and things were happening kind of more on a set schedule, whereas the first few weeks were just kind of all over the place. By the time she got to spend her alone time with him, I think things were in a good place, and I'm looking forward to kind of stepping in and having him be even more kind of responsive and kind of learning a bit more about his personality and who he is and how he's trying to communicate with the world and with myself.
And we should mention that Lauren Crippen works in the mission here in San Francisco, and we also asked, a few of our listeners left messages on our comment line about some of those key baby moments that we hear from these two fathers that they either saw or missed when they took paternity leave.
My name's Dan Schulman, and I just actually returned to work at Mother Jones from paternity leave, and they have a very generous two-month paid leave policy, and I took an additional month. The interesting thing is, like, when kids are, 1 and 2 months old, they're really not doing much, and they're not, in some cases, they're not yet smiling, and it's really, like, 2 months to 3 months that they really start giving a lot back to you. Like, as I was going back to work, my son is suddenly becoming so much fun, and, he's doing all these new things. He's almost rolling over. He's using his hands. Just as all this happens, we're sort of handing him over to daycare. So from that perspective, yeah, I certainly would have wanted to take more time.
My name is David Wolf. Seeing my daughter stand on her own 2 feet and lean up against something, kind of support herself, that was huge. I wanted to, I just wanted the moment just to last forever, and I couldn't wait till my wife got home just so that I could show off my daughter's new trick. But that's one that stands out to me. I mean, even the simple stuff, during my second leave, just feeding her first solid foods, just going from breast milk to eating some solid foods was like a huge event. And it was a messy event, but it was a huge event.
Hi, my name is Chris. I'm a 33-year-old security contractor. I took 30 days of leave with my daughter, and I really appreciated the time that I had because, my company doesn't have the benefit of being able to have a paternity leave, so I was able to use state paid family leave, and it was nice to be able to take that time
this is my first child, and the whole changing of life for me, it's been nice to be able to just slowly ride into that different gear as opposed to just being dropped into it.
Some more voices from our listeners, and of course we'll hear from you when we open our phone lines. But I want to go to Brad Harrington, who's joining us for this hour. He's Executive Director of Boston College Center for Work and Family and a research professor at the Carroll School of Management. He researches work-life integration and changing roles of fathers and is an expert particularly on family issues. And Brad Harrington, you know, here in California, only about 32% of Californians are aware that the state has a family leave program, that it provides 6 weeks for eligible workers. That in itself is pretty revealing and in some ways disturbing.
Yeah, I think especially for dads, I think it's surprising to some folks that that any leave is offered at all. And if you guys were privy to or aware of the big controversy that occurred, what was about 9 months ago when a baseball player had the audacity to take opening day off for to be there for the birth of his first child, you really got a sense of how electrified that conversation became. And part of the conversation was at least a few sports anchor people being stunned that anything such as paternity leave would ever be offered to athletes or other people. So I think we're still, you know, as a country, as you may well know, we do not offer nationally any kind of policy on paid leave for moms or dads. And so the expectation around paid leave for Americans is very low, and it's very employer dependent. But certainly when moms don't even get any guaranteed paid leave across the United States, it's very surprising for dads to think that they might be able to get it. And within a state like California, which is one of only three that offers paid leave, there probably is a need for a campaign to go on to really educate people about what is available to them.
Well, just a statistic apropos, 180 countries, all but two offer
right.
maternity leave, and the U.S. is one of those. So yeah. There we have it. But the access to unpaid leave, it's limited, and it's eclipsed by all these other developed countries compared to the United States. One wonders about why the aversion, or why, for that matter, the obstacles are there. And I guess you come up with all these ideas that people have about it not being individual enough, not being masculine enough, the division that exists between, it's still culturally, between breadwinners and caretakers. But there's also this feeling that somehow it's job killing.
Right. And I think, you know, in the United States, there's a lot of conversations around, you know, if we offer any kind of national health insurance, that would kill jobs. If we raise the minimum wage, that would kill jobs. And if we offer leave policies or programs that support parents for the time that they're home with their young children, that would be a job killer. And I think, you know, those kinds of conversations kind of just bounce up back and forth. And I think it oftentimes limits us from being progressive or being even in step with what the rest of the world is doing. I think Papua New Guinea is the only other country out of the 180 you mentioned that doesn't offer paid maternity leave. And when you look and say, would that be our benchmark for who we're trying to compare ourselves against, that would be sort of laughable for most people. So when we look at any developed country in the world and any countries that we might compete with, whether that be as advanced as Germany or the UK or Canada or Singapore or Japan, or whether it be a country that's really very much in the developing range, it's hard to imagine why the U.S. has just not taken this idea on board of paid leave for moms and more recently paid leave for dads being a good notion.
Again, Brad Harrington with us from Boston, and his study, The New Dad, is on our website. You can read it and access it by going to kqed.org/forum. A number of other studies that I wanted to just talk about with you briefly, if we could, Brad, and one of those is again, quite revelatory. Fathers are asked what should be the split in terms of child care. And over again, it seems to come out 50-50, at least according to what the fathers say. But, of course, it doesn't work that way. It still doesn't go that way. And that in itself tells us a great deal. It reminds me of, you know, Arlie Hochschild's book, The Second Shift?
Yes, I do.
I mean, it reminds me of that, but also reminds me of my cousin Thelma's Law, which is when there's an emergency or when there's really child care that's necessary, in more instances, maybe even most instances, the mother takes charge.
Correct. And I think that's sort of embedded in the mindset of not just individuals, but it's embedded in the mindset of organizations and institutions and society as a whole. You know, the classic example I always use is I have three kids, and they're 19, 17, and 14. And when one of your callers said, you know, he doesn't get much response from his child because they were only 1 to 2 months old, the same thing happens again when they're teenagers, by the way. But kidding aside, one of the things that happens is, like, with our school system, you know, if anything goes wrong with the kids or our kids are sick, the phone call immediately goes to my wife to say, you've got to get down here and pick up your children. And if, you know, for some reason they can't reach my wife, the phone call comes to me, and it's always, Dr. Harrington, we are so sorry to bother you. We couldn't reach your wife, and therefore we have to disturb you at work. So I think those mindsets around and the paradigms around mom's first, dad's second are very, you know, much a part of the fabric of the way people operate within the United States. And I think one of the things, and maybe the most, you know, pronounced thing that people could do early on to change that would be for fathers to take leave. Because I think the idea that the mother is the primary player in caregiving and the father is at best a supporting actor becomes solidified within the first days and weeks of the child's life. So I don't think paternity leave is only just about what happens in the 2 weeks or 4 weeks or 6 months that a dad takes off, but it really is what kind of a precedent does that establish between husband and wife, and, you know, does that then have a knock-on kind of ongoing effect in terms of the idea of shared parenting?
Well, 2 weeks is what you call the sweet spot, though. I just want to get that out there.
That's right.
I mean, for most dads, that would be, if there were paid paternal leave, probably, you know, the optimal and the best. But there's also a lot of this stigma that has to be battled against and faced. The idea that a father doesn't come to work is somehow the idea that the father isn't as committed to work. And the same, of course, holds true for women. But from your research, I think it kind of boils down to when women come back to work, it works against them. And when men come back to work, they may be having difficulty if they had paternity leave and being seen as, committed to their work, right, or all that sort of thing. But for the most part, they gain more usually, don't they?
The men?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they do. I mean, women, you know, the research that we've done with one of our colleagues at Northeastern, she looked at women and their return to work after having children, and she said to some degree they faced a double bind, women did, that if they came back and said that they were going to work full-time, that the reaction to some of their colleagues was, oh, well, who's going to watch your child? But conversely, if they said they were going to come back to work part-time, not come back to work, then they get a very different response, which was also had some negative connotations as well in terms of the harm that they had done to their careers. Men, though, do face a little bit of a double whammy on this one as well. When men are conspicuous in terms of caregiving, they face some stigma and some penalties in terms of the way they're viewed in the workplace and whether or not they're viewed as people that have, you know, real career advancement opportunities. So the best analogy I can give you is one of the researchers at University of Toronto told me, and that was in terms of when they return to the workplace, if women are conspicuous about the time they're going to be spending with their children, they're seen as lesser workers, in other words, less committed, but better women. When men are conspicuous about their role in caregiving in the workplace, and this was based on research this professor did, what she found was that they're viewed as lesser workers, but also lesser men.
Okay, let me hold that thought, and tell listeners that they can join us. And in fact, our toll-free number is available to you now. It's 866-733-6786. Join the program, 866-733-6786, or email us, forum@kqed.org, or go to our website, kqed.org/forum, and click on this segment. I'm Michael Krasny. This is Forum. I'm Michael Krasny. We're talking about paternity leave, and many fathers are reluctant to take it, as we just heard from Brad Harrington, who's with us, Executive Director of Boston College Center for Work and Family and a research professor at the Carroll School of Management. You can read his work, The New Dad. It's on our website, kqed.org/forum, and you can go to our website and, of course, get involved in this conversation or make comments or questions of your own to bring to the fore. We also have with us a couple of dads who did paternal leave, Lauren Crippen, who is a development marketing associate with First Graduate and recently returned to work after taking 3 weeks of paternity leave after his son was born. He's planning to take more later. Tom Stocke, also with us, vice president for search with Facebook, and he posted on Facebook about his 4-month paternity leave last year, and the post went viral, and We're going viral with comments here. Let me read some of them. Important comment I want to read first from Dana, who says, I was just listening this morning and heard about the upcoming show tomorrow on paternity leave. As a parent of a 12-month-old daughter with a same-sex partner, I would urge you to break from only looking at parenting in heterosexual terminology and expand your ask not just to fathers, but to any parent or caretaker who is not the birth mother who took leave. I took my 6 weeks of paid family leave when my daughter was born, both to bond with my daughter and to support her birth mother, my partner. It would be great to hear language that reflects families such as my own, as well as other types of families that break from the idea that only heterosexual couples raise children. Married same-sex partners in California have access to the same paid family leave as married heterosexual couples, so you might want to make an effort to recognize those families, many of which likely live in the Bay Area and listen to your station. And I say hear, hear to that. And here's Anna in San Mateo who writes, Genentech, the company my husband works for, just announced that they will increase their fully paid paternity leave from 1 week to 6 weeks with baby number two due in July. We couldn't be happier about this advancement. The English professor in me keeps thinking about the word paternity because it does suggest fatherhood. Maybe we need to sort of re-examine our semantics here. I'll read some more of your comments. Sean writes, I work for a public school district and was only entitled to 3 days of paternity leave. However, I had overtime saved up and vacation days that I used. In addition to that, I had a very supportive staff and coworkers in my department who worked hard to cover our collective workload. Every time I mention the small amount of paternity time given, people are shocked. I feel as though paternity leave should be taken more seriously and that laws should be established to allow for more time off for the partner of the woman giving birth. I like that phrasing, by the way, apropos of the first comment I read. My ability to stay and help my wife probably make the difference between her enjoying the first couple weeks of our daughter's life and it being a joyful yet intensely exhaustive experience, not to mention the fact that my wife was bedridden for several days and told not to move around too much. Family can't always help, and even if they can, it's often incredibly intrusive having them around during an emotional time. And on our Facebook page, just a couple of comments here. Here's William who writes, impeccable timing. We just arrived back home with our second child today. I'm an information security director at a healthcare startup in San Francisco. And as you can imagine, asking for a month off felt a bit uneasy, especially in my particular position. Not surprisingly, my employer has been very supportive with an added stipulation that I remain semi-plugged in for obvious reasons while away. Ideally, I would have wanted a longer time off, but I appreciate the fact that I can be away, not have a career anxiety, and provide for my family. Another listener writes, society loves to complain about men not taking time with kids and sharing household work, but our culture does not actually support or expect this. Support, meaning that employers would treat them no differently than women taking leave. There needs to be an expectation of equality in this area. It's a big task convincing an employer that care and responsibility need be equal. Some men's careers may likely suffer from this, as women's have for so long, and in most workplaces, things are very old-fashioned. A shift in this area would go a long way in closing the gender gap in work and at home, giving all types of families true choice as a respectful and the right thing to do. Well, let's bring Julia Parrish into this. She's a staff attorney with the Legal Aid Society Employment Law Center, and she focuses on work and family issues like paid leave. Julia Parrish, welcome to Forum. Good to have you.
Thanks for having me.
Well, from your advising and from your legal work, what seems to be the biggest concerns for fathers taking time off, or for that matter, partners who just want to get paid leave?
Yeah, I think everything that your viewers and your guests have been talking about, we hear every single day from all over the state. And it's really about recognizing a change in the way that families are structured and workplaces kind of struggling to catch up with that. I mean, I think a lot of the workplace policies and ideas that people have around parental leave are based on the idea that there is a parent at home. And in fact, the vast majority of children live in a household where both parents are in the workplace or rely on a single parent breadwinner. And so it creates a tension between the expectations of being there for your family and being able to fulfill your obligations at work that really are difficult for people to manage. And one wonderful thing that California has that many of your callers have alluded to is this paid family leave program, because most employers actually do not offer any kind of paid parental leave to their employees. And so when people are able to take time off, it can either be unpaid or they have to access pay from a different way. And so what California has done, and just a couple of other states have done this as well, is implement a paid family leave program which provides up to 6 weeks of income replacement benefits at 55% of a worker's pay. So it's not full pay. and it is capped for the very highest earners. But this really makes a huge difference for people in terms of being able to access time off, because time off is really all well and good, but, you know, we need to pay the rent and buy diapers and all of the things that are going on in life as well. And so this has made a huge difference, and it's also increased the number of men filing for bonding claims. We call this bonding leave. And again, it's available to both parents. It's available to birth parents and non-birth parents, adoptive, foster, same-sex couples, domestic partners. Everyone can access this benefit as long as they've paid the tax, which most people have. And it's also an entirely worker-funded program. So employers don't actually contribute to this program. It's paid by a tax through paycheck deductions by employees. And since California was the first state to have it, and it went into effect in 2004, and at that point, 17% of the claims filed were by men seeking bonding time, so seeking parental leave, and that has continued to rise steadily since the implementation of the law, but it's still only at about 30%. So what we're still seeing is that offering paid family leave has definitely increased participation from men in caregiving, but it's still falling disproportionately on women.
It's still pretty much the way it has been traditionally, but I know a lot of people are combining vacation time with whatever they can get in the way of leave. And Ernst & Young in San Francisco, I believe, has leave based on primary caregiver, which is something that I suppose it's apropos here to our discussion, but also causes some concerns as well. I want to get our callers involved in this and our listeners. Julia, I hope you'll be with us to answer any legal questions that may come up. Appreciate your being part of the program. And before we go to our callers and bring them into the mix here, I wanted to actually have us hear something. We asked the listeners to share stories about paternity leave, and some of them talked about the impact that it had on their careers. Let's hear.
Hi, my name is Brent. I guess the only negatives that I personally had were I was moved off of a few projects that I wanted to stay on, but I knew ahead of time that that wasn't going to happen, so it wasn't exactly a surprise. It was just the realities of how business has to happen when I'm away.
My name is David Wolf. You know, when I returned to work, I definitely think the atmosphere is different. I think the expectations on me were a little bit different. You know, one particular incident was just, I was the only person that wasn't present for a particular meeting, and it was a very important meeting. And so just the fact that I wasn't in the office and that I was doing it remotely, you know, I made a couple of jokes about, you know, needing to give my baby a bath or needing to attend to her during the meeting. And I really thought they were just jokes, but they fell flat. You know, everybody that was working that day didn't want to hear about me being at home. Even though I was on paternity leave for that particular hour, I was trying to be accommodating, but it still didn't come out like I was hoping.
Let me just go to our two in-studio guests here and get a quick assessment. Lauren Crippen, begin with you, about what it was like going back to work. I mean, there were mountains of work waiting for you when you returned.
Yeah. I mean, I you know, work in development at a nonprofit. So, you know, unfortunately, when I went out on paternity leave, it was kind of, we were beginning to ramp up our kind of development and giving season. So it was a really busy time, and definitely, you know, had been working on some big projects that were coming up. And, you know, fortunately, the staff where I work, First Graduate, was really great in sort of picking up the slack and, you know, all hands on deck to make sure that when I was out that things got done. But, you know, it's definitely strange being out for some of these big projects. And then, you know, coming back, I felt like it was pretty easy to pick up where I left off. I think, you know, everyone was glad to have me back, and definitely hit the ground running. So, you know, it was not too hard for me. It was awfully, obviously hard leaving my son behind. That was the hardest part, yeah.
And what about you, Tom Stocky? I mean, you said before that it was more difficult taking care of your kid than it was going back than the work you were doing, yeah?
Yeah, I mean, I a lot of what your callers have said really resonates with me. It's I feel really fortunate, though, because, you know, Facebook offers 4 months of paid paternity leave, and they encourage people to take it. And so it
makes Facebook a real outlier in this.
Yeah, it's kind of, and it makes me realize how fortunate I am. But I think more companies should do this. I think it's really in actually their interest to encourage parents to take this leave, and especially dads. And what I've seen is, like, when you invest in the life side of this work-life balance, it actually leads to happier employees who are also more productive employees. But more so to kind of one of the earlier comments that you had read, I think this is a gender equality issue too. I think, you know, if there's different leave for men versus women, it means that, unconscious or not, there's an incentive for employers to hire a man versus a woman. And until, you know, we kind of allow dads and men to do the same amount in the home, I mean, we're not going to get equality in the workplace until we get equality in the home, you know.
Well said. So, yeah. Let's go to our callers, and we begin, Bob, with you. Good morning.
Good morning. Great program.
Thank you. We all thank you. It's a collective effort.
I've been a bioscience person for 40 years, and I made a point when my kids were born, they're in their 30s now, that I will spend time with them. And it cost me a little bit in my career, though, because I told my boss, well, I have to go home at 4 o'clock. I want to spend time with my family. So I had basically hourly or daily maternity or paternity leave. If I need to take a day off, I'm taking it. I never took a month off. But I can tell you, my kids are doing really great.
But you, as I understand it, Bob, you had an employer say something to you about this. What was that?
Well, indeed, just to keep it brief, one of my colleagues was, since the name came up, was working for Genentech. This is 30 years ago, 25 years ago, and his boss, a woman, no less, told him, you can either be a scientist at Genentech or a father, but you can't be both.
Yeah, well, those were unenlightened times. But nevertheless, we've come a long way. Thank you for that, Bob. At least we think and hope we've come a long way. Terry is our next caller. Hi, Terry. Welcome.
Hi. This is a great program, and thank you for doing this. I think it really opens people's eyes to taking this leave.
Is that all you want to say, Terry?
No, I don't think so.
Thanks for the comment, but go ahead. Yeah.
Going along with the last kind of listeners that were calling in, I feel that I was kind of punished for taking the leave. This is my second child, and I took the 6 weeks straight time off that was paid by the state of California. And then I did the next 6 weeks by federal, taking sporadic days off, mostly just Fridays off. Just to kind of spread it out and help with the family. And after I returned back to full-time work, I was let go. And I felt, for no good reason, and looked into it. And apparently the Medical Leave Act only protects your job while you're on the leave. But when you come back, you don't really have that protection. Yeah. I just wanted to see, you know, if anyone had any comments on that.
Yeah, no, I thank you. Julia Parrish, can I go to you on that and maybe also find out about what kind of companies are exempt from the leave law?
Yeah, so the main law that allows for new parents to take time off when they have a baby is called the Family Medical Leave Act. That's a national law, and it does provide 12 weeks total to bond with a new child for eligible workers, which is you have to have worked for your employer for at least a year. You have to have been there. You have to have worked 1,250 hours in the year before your leave starts, and your employer has to have at least 50 employees within a 75-mile radius of your worksite. And so that actually only covers about 60% of workers nationwide. So a lot of people aren't eligible for time off under that law. But if you are, it does actually give you strong protections, which are job-protected leave with continued health benefits. And it does also protect you from retaliation for having taken that leave.
And we should mention, here's an online comment from one of our listeners who speaks to this. It says, California is one of only three states, as we've said, that has a paid family leave program, but few people know about it. And I said earlier in the program, I think it's at about 36% of those who are aware of it, and even fewer are able to take advantage of it because can't afford to live on only 50% of the salary. And incredibly enough, public employees are excluded from family leave. Couple of questions. Let me go to you on this, Brad Harrington, if I could. It's actually a different perspective, and I'd like, especially with all of the research you've done, to hear what you have to say. Mark writes, I have nothing against paternity leave and nothing against the state providing that leave, but there is no such paid time off for the rest of us who decide not to have children. Having children is a choice, just as not doing so is a choice. Why should those of us choosing not to have children be denied tax-funded time for not making the same choice? Not having children in a crowded world is an admirable act as well. What would you say about that, Brad Harrington?
Well, anytime we talk about, you know, parental leave or work-life work-family balance or support systems, there is always the potential of backlash. Just, I guess, two quick comments I'd make. One is, when he said federally funded, I think what your guest Julia said is that the, you know, if you take the California example, it's employee funded. So this is being funded by employees, and it's sort of something they're collecting on, but that they've been paying into since the system was established. And when we talk about on a national level, there is no federally funded leave. It's unpaid leave, as Julia also pointed out. So really, it's not taking any money away from somebody, at least not from the from a government perspective.
But I think the caller's remarks also have to do with the fact that, you know, if there were unpaid leave, right, he would feel, as someone who's decided not to have a child, that he was getting a raw deal.
Yeah, well, I mean, I guess I look at it and say none of us would be here if there wasn't a parent involved somewhere in the equation. And so if individuals make the choice not to have children, that's totally understandable. But all of us were kids at one time, and all of us were born, and our parents needed and would have benefited probably by some kind of a support system, including some kind of monetary support during the time they were on leave. And so although I appreciate the fact that it seems like people who have children are getting something that's a little bit different or a little bit better, I think that, you know, all of us were born at one point in time. All of us had moms and dads, and all of them probably could have benefited by the kinds of supports that were provided. And the individual choices people make, I think there's always some ramifications or repercussions to the kind of choices people make, and things don't always work out exactly fairly.
So. And again, Brad Harrington with us from Boston is executive director of the Boston College Center for Work and Family. And Alyssa is joining us from Oakland. Alyssa, welcome.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I'm 11 weeks pregnant, and my husband is an independently employed personal trainer. And so I'm just wondering if any of your panelists know if the benefits in California apply to people like him.
Yeah, let me go again to you, Julia Parrish, on this. We're getting a number of questions about self-employment. What can you tell us?
Yeah, so most of these protections apply to people who are considered employees. So it depends a little bit on how you kind of have your self-employment structured. If you've paid into the tax system, as Brad pointed out, it's worker-funded, meaning it's based on whether you've paid this tax or not. So if you've paid the tax, then you're eligible for paid family leave, but if you haven't, then you're not. And so you just have to kind of look at those individual records. But most people who work for employers, virtually all private employees, do pay this tax. It tends to not be paid by independent contractors, but that can depend. And then also just to kind of add on to the comment earlier about these policies applying to people who don't have children, the very same kind of laws that we're talking about, at least in a general sense, also apply to people who are caring for a seriously ill family member.
Right.
So even if we don't have children ourselves, we have parents and, you know, grandparents and siblings. And at least in California, the paid family leave program also can kick in if you need to care for somebody who is seriously ill.
And here's more of your calls. Britt joins us. Britt, thanks for waiting. Welcome to the program.
Thank you very much. I took 8 weeks off for the birth of my first child, and it was the best decision I ever made. When I went back to work, there was some problems. However, I then had another child, and she is a special needs child with Rett syndrome, and I have become the primary caregiver and am now an independent contractor. And it has not impacted my career because I work with a great company, but it has. There have been backlash for people who ask me all the time, well, where do you work? When do you work? And I just dropped her off at her school in Sonoma and had left a medical meeting this morning. And so now I'm jumping into work this afternoon. But it has affected, and there are people who feel that I don't really work and that I am, you know, as a primary caregiver during the day because my wife has a job that is at an office. And it is interesting when people ask, you know, what I do for a living and where I work. And I think that your callers have enunciated the fact that men are treated differently when we decide to do this as a career choice than women. And I hope that there is some more equity down the way.
All right. And I thank you for the call, Brett. I'm going to go right to another caller, and that's Will. Will, welcome.
Hello. Am I on, Michael?
You're on, yeah.
Hi, this is Dr. Will Courtney in Oakland. I'm a psychotherapist, work with dads, and done research on fathers, and was also a stay-at-home dad. So I really appreciate the show, Michael. Thank you for that. There's just one point I wanted to make, and I think Professor Harrington can speak to this, but it's about father involvement. And, I think most dads don't realize how important their role is as a father. And we know from lots and lots of research that kids who have fathers who are involved do better in every way we can measure their development. And that's, they do better behaviorally and psychologically and socially and cognitively. So I think when fathers realize just how important their role is as a father, I think they're more inclined to be involved with their kids and to take paternity leave or to become a stay-at-home dad. So this is about that bonding time that Julia referred to. And that, bonding time is such a cute term, but it's based on lots of really good research on attachment and how important that early development time is for us to be involved with our parents and how much better those kids do when we are involved with them.
Yeah, Brad Harrington, you want to speak to that?
Yeah, I mean, there's been a litany of studies that have come out that have looked at both the impact of caregiving on dads in terms of their well-being and how that's promoted and increased by their engagement with their children, but also, as the caller mentioned, the fact that the relationships with their spouse, the social, emotional, physical, cognitive development of their children is all enhanced by getting fathers engaged early on. And I think one of the things you'd find is, people, again, tend to think about the leave period as just a few weeks or in the fortunate cases of some of these Silicon Valley companies, a few months. But what they sometimes see or fail to recognize is the knock-on effect that few weeks or few months has over the long term. And countries who've been in this business for a long time, and the Nordic countries are always the best example, they've given fathers the opportunity to sort of take the leave or they lose it, or the family loses the time. And that's really kicked up the participation level from like in the 20s and 30% when they first instituted this policy up to 80 and 90%. And what they found is, the fathers who use it during that period of time, over the long term, they continue to be more actively engaged in their children's life. So that initial few weeks or months really has a big impact on dads. It has a big impact on children. And also for those countries that are interested in gender equality, the feeling is that, a country like Sweden that offers generous paternity leaves also has one of the smallest gender gaps in terms of achievement and pay and so forth as a result of the fact that the dads are much more actively engaged, and that frees up the moms to be a little more committed in the workplace.
Yeah, well, since you mentioned Sweden and we're talking about Scandinavia, here's an online comment from Ned in Berkeley who writes, in Denmark, couples are given 52 weeks of paternal leave to share between them and are allowed to decide for themselves how to divide it up. Part of the reasoning behind the policy is that they found that when fathers were more involved in the beginning of their children's lives, they were then much more involved going forward. More of your comments. Here's a listener who writes, my husband was a lifesaver during the early weeks of our second son's life. I am the breadwinner and was miserable shortly after his birth, bemoaning his colic, difficult temperament, etc., and my loss of control often ended in tears. One night I told him, that is her husband, I just didn't feel productive anymore being away from my job, and he marched me over to our sleeping son and said, you look at that baby and tell me you're not productive. The same can and should be said to all fathers who take paternity leave and are seen as less than their hard-charging, career-crazed counterparts. Here's from an employer by the name of Hillary who writes, I own a small business in San Francisco, and right now we do not offer paid leave of our own. However, we do assist our staff who need to take leave with the state forms for paid family leave and encourage folks to take the time they need. We have had 4 people take family leave in the last few years, including our most senior manager, who took paternity leave a few years ago, and we were thrilled for him and his wife. For him to take this leave did not affect his position in the company, his year-end bonus, his raises, or ability to achieve promotion within the company, and he certainly remains our most valuable person, and we want him to be happy and to remain with us for as long as possible. Some clear messages are coming through here, I think. Here's Ben who writes, we're expecting our first child within the month, so thank you for this topic. I'm also co-founder of a 2-year-old startup and have a lot of responsibilities with the company. Excuse me. As much as I would love to take an 8-week leave, I've had to compromise with both my family and my company and plan to take 4 weeks off after my wife returns to work following her 6 months of leave. When I brought this up with our CEO, she asked me if I was sure I could handle that much paternity leave. I told her no, and that is exactly the point. One more listener on Facebook writes, to what extent does this reflect the general reluctance of people in the United States to take leave at all, or of employers to offer it? Japan is the only place I've been with a worse workplace climate with respect to working hours and leave and death from overwork. is its own vocabulary word there. It's not a figure of speech either. It means literal death from overwork. Get into those kind of fascinating questions, Brad Harrington, about what culturally distinguishes us. And there aren't any easy answers to it, but I hope that programs like this and the work that you've done will serve to maybe change some minds or alter consciousness.
Yeah, I mean, we see a spectrum across the world, and some, you know, on one extreme, we had visitors come that were from a president's commission in Korea come and visit with us a few months back, because Korea has the longest work hours culture in the world of any country, developed country in the world, South Korea, obviously. And, you know, they were there because there are lots of issues around women's inability to return to the workplace because of the long expectations about long work hours. They were there because of low fertility rates, and they were there from the standpoint of saying we need to have a more balanced society than we have. On the other end of the spectrum, you have Scandinavian countries who people look and say, how in the world can they afford to give a year off or 16 months off or whatever it is to parents? And I think it's a question of what the national priorities are. And when you talk to people from the Scandinavian countries, they see our approach as more the anomaly, and they say, well, if we really believe that the future of our country is based in what we do for our children, and that's starting at the earliest age, then how can you not make caregiving and leave-taking a priority?
We will leave it there with that note of the priority. Thank you, Brad Harrington. Brad Harrington, again, is Executive Director of the Boston College Center for Work and Family. Thank you to our two in-studio guests, both fathers who took care of their children under leave, Tom Stocky, who is Vice President of Research with Facebook, and Lauren Crippen, who is Development and Marketing Associate with First Graduate. Thanks, too, to Julia Parrish, staff attorney from the Legal Aid Society, who joined us. And thanks to you, our listeners. We wouldn't be here without you. We are here with you Monday through Friday, 9 to 11, an hour repeat at 10 to 11. And for all of us at KQED Public Radio, I'm Michael Krasny.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio and the Germanicos Foundation and the Generosity Foundation.